welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, bringing you variety programs in this hour. Later on, the Bird's Eye Open House from 1946 with Groucho Marx. But first, the Continental Celebrity Club with special guest, actress Ann Rutherford. A CBS episode from January 12th, 1946.
Oh, boy, the Continental Celebrity Club. Hello, Mr. Cullen.
Well, if it isn't Jackie Kelk in the flesh.
Oh, sure. I never go anywhere without it. Who's the celebrity on the show tonight, Mr. Cullen?
Jackie, that lovely young motion picture star, Ann Rutherford.
Ann Rutherford?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, I once wrote her a fan letter. I told her I was in love with her. She sent me a kiss by mail.
A kiss by mail, Jackie? Did you enjoy it?
No. The mailman needed a shave. See you later, Mr. Cullen.
And with the playing of that slightly curdled overture, our Continental Celebrity Club now takes a turn toward comedy. When you or I say hello, it's just a simple everyday word. But for some reason or the other, it kind of tickles our funny bone when that hello is spoken by Jackie Kelk.
Say, I wish you wouldn't make fun of the way I talk, Mr. Daly. I was the star of our play at school yesterday. The reception I got warmed the cackles of my heart.
Oh, you mean it warmed the cuckles of your heart?
No, cackles. I laid an egg. We had our dressing rooms down in the basement. By mistake, I wandered into the boiler room. I was locked in there all morning.
Locked in the boiler room? How did you come out?
Medium rare. Naturally, it affected my voice.
Jackie, your voice has a strange quality. How do you account for it?
Well, you see, when I was 12 years old, my mother sent me on an errand. On my way, I stopped in to see our doctor. When I got home, I said, Ma, I've got adenoids.
And what did your mother say?
She said, take them back. I told you to ask the butcher for pot roast.
Well, Jackie, I didn't mean to criticize your voice. I just meant to say it's unusual.
Well, you know, people are starting to write to me about it.
Fan letters?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jackie, I'll bet you get a flood of fan mail.
Well, not a flood, exactly. So far, it's more like a drip. This letter here is from Kansas. It says, Dear Jackie Kelk, we are an old couple, and we have left the house only twice in the past 30 years. Once when the roof caved in, and once when we heard you talk. However, we know what you're up against, and we are sending you this home remedy, something for your throat.
What was it?
A piece of broken glass.
Oh, now, Jackie, don't let your voice worry you. After all, we all have some personal problem or the other.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Like my Aunt Wilhelmina. There's a woman who should be very happy. She has five sons, all boys.
Well, then what's her problem?
She keeps getting arrested all the time. Like last week, she got arrested for obeying the signs in a trolley car.
For obeying the sign?
Mm-hmm. It was okay when she obeyed the sign that said, no smoking, and the one that said, step to the rear.
What got her into trouble?
The sign that said, change into an irresistible girdle, now. Yes, I guess we all have our problems. Now, look at your orchestra leader, Ray Block. Did you ever see such a beautiful head of wavy scalp?
Jackie, please. Ray is very sensitive about his bald spot.
Oh, sure. I know how he must feel.
Well, here he comes. Now, remember, if the subject of hair is mentioned, be tactful.
Okay, you can depend on me.
How are you, John? Glad to see you, Jackie.
And I'm glad to see you, Baldy.
Baldy? Gee, he noticed it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Block. But gee whiz, remember, when you get up in the morning, you save a lot of time when you have no hair to comb.
A false philosophy. Doesn't save time at all.
No, why not?
Look at all the face I have to wash. Nice to know you, my boy.
Gee, look at him, Mr. Daly. He feels so bad about his hair. No wonder the poor fella drinks.
What, Ray Block drinks?
Sure, hair tonic.
Well, no matter how much he worries about his hair, Jackie, you must admit it didn't keep him from being a fine musician.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Daly. And maybe I ought to become a musician, too. But my father says I should forget music and go to college. He wants me to have all the advantages he didn't have. He says I should go to Vassar.
Jackie, Vassar is a girls' college.
He wants me to have all the advantages he didn't have.
Oh, I knew we'd get around to the matter of girls sooner or later. I suppose you're dying to meet Ann Rutherford.
Oh, boy. I hope she remembers that love letter I sent her. She probably won't. Ah, oh, women, thy name is fickle.
Oh, women aren't fickle, Jackie. What makes you say that?
Well, I once met a girl at a dance, Mr. Daly. She asked me for my phone number, so I gave her a pencil to write it down. But she never called me. That was 5 years ago. Oh, if I ever come face to face with her again.
What'll you say to her?
Don't you think it's time you return my pencil? See you later, Mr. Daly.
Now, our celebrity portrait starring Miss Ann Rutherford. Ann Rutherford stars in My Heart Belongs to You, supported by Ken Lynch. On a West Coast pier where an army transport is unloading its cargo of returning GIs, a young woman stands alone, waiting, watching, as the last man aboard straggles down the gangplank and disappears into the crowd. In a moment, the crowd is gone too. And of all the soldiers who came ashore, only one remains on that deserted pier.
Waiting for someone?
I was.
Me too.
I've given up hope now.
Me too.
He was supposed to meet me right there.
Where?
Right there.
Oh.
Where was yours supposed to meet you?
She didn't say. I was just hoping she'd be here.
Didn't you ride her?
Oh, sure. We had big plans for tonight.
So did we.
What were you going to do?
Oh, everything.
Hmm?
I've got tickets for the ice show, a reserved table at the Midnight Club, and a hansom cab rented for a drive around the park. We were going to see the dawn come up.
Gee, I wish I'd thought of that.
Do you like the dawn?
I love it. Only I've never seen it from a hansom cab. I've been away for 3 years.
That's a long time.
It is where I've been.
Where he's been, too.
Who?
Charlie.
The guy you were supposed to meet?
Mm-hmm.
He must be on another ship.
There isn't any other ship.
Well, he'd have seen you if he was on this one.
Maybe. Maybe he didn't want to see me. Charlie, maybe he doesn't love me anymore.
Oh, that's crazy. Anybody love you?
What?
I mean, anybody who loved you would love you.
Oh.
Well, there's no point in waiting around here.
No, not anymore. You want 2 tickets for the ice show?
Gee, that'd be swell. But what would I do with 2?
Give one away.
And go alone?
Would you have to? Can't you get a date?
Not in this town. There's only one girl I know.
Who?
You. Did you see that? Did you see the way she did those pirouettes? Boy, she can skate.
Having fun, soldier?
Sure, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Have some more peanuts.
No, thanks.
What's the matter? Don't you like them?
Sometimes.
You still thinking about Charlie?
Uh-huh.
You know, he must be quite a guy. Can't you forget about him for a while?
How? I'm too afraid he's forgotten about me.
Oh, now, wait a minute. No guy in the world is worth crying about. Not with your tears.
I'm sorry. I'm spoiling all your fun.
No, you aren't. Charlie is. Well, are we going to the Midnight Club?
If you want to.
What about Charlie?
We'll leave him right here.
You know, I think I could sit here all night and just look at you.
I think you have.
Haven't I said anything?
Not with words.
I haven't been thinking words.
Why not?
The one for you has never been written.
Oh, what a sweet thing to say.
I mean it.
I know you do.
I want you to know how much fun I've had tonight.
You're not getting serious, are you?
Can't I?
Oh, no. No, please don't. It wouldn't be fair.
To Charlie?
To you.
You really love him?
Oh, so much. You know what brought us together?
What?
A bomber.
Hmm?
I helped make it, and he flew it.
How's that?
Well, I worked in an aircraft factory.
Oh.
And the first bomber we made, I put a little note in.
And he answered it?
Uh-huh. We've been writing to each other ever since.
You mean you've never seen this guy?
No.
Then how can you love him?
You wouldn't understand.
Oh, I don't want to understand. I don't mind losing to a guy that really loves you, but this way he might be kidding you along.
Not Charlie. You don't know him.
You don't know pilots.
He'll come back. He's got to.
Well, I hope he does, but...
But what?
Nothing. I just don't want to see you get hurt. After all, it's different when you're out there. You get so lonely. You write a lot of things you don't mean sometimes.
No, I won't let you say that, even if it's true.
I'm not saying it's true.
Then don't say it at all. Take me home, will you?
So soon.
It's awfully late.
Aren't we going to see the dawn together?
I don't think I could. Not now.
Don't you like me anymore?
Oh, it isn't that. It hasn't anything to do with you.
Then let's see the dawn. Just this once.
Will it make you very happy?
Mm-hmm.
Even if I think about Charlie?
Even so. You think about Charlie, and I'll think about you. Stop, driver.
Oh, you mustn't hold my hand.
Why not?
Well, it makes me feel so strange. You're such a strange boy.
I never knew that.
You are. You make me forget.
What?
Something I don't want to forget.
Him?
Mm-hmm.
Can't you like anybody else?
That's just it. I do.
Then why don't you give me a break?
Oh, please. Oh, no, please don't try to kiss me.
Why not?
Because I want you to.
Oh, darling.
Oh, no, you shouldn't have done that.
I had to.
Oh, but it isn't fair. It isn't fair to him. I promised.
What?
To wait. I promised to wait forever.
He won't hold you to that. No real guy would want to.
Why not?
Because a real guy wouldn't expect you to marry him without even knowing you.
But he does know me. He loves me.
So he'd have to know if you loved him.
Oh, you don't understand. You don't know how much we meant to each other all through the war. Oh, the dreams we built and the hopes. Why, they kept him alive out there. I can't just smash all that because of you. You wouldn't want me to.
Oh, I guess not.
You see, he said it so well in the last letter he wrote me. He said, "Darling, 3,000 miles away, I know just who you are and what you are and what you'll always be. To me, you'll always be..."
The most beautiful girl in the world.
Why?
The most wonderful person I've ever known, no matter what you look like when I see you.
Why, you've read that letter.
No, darling. I wrote it.
Charlie?
Yes.
Oh, Charlie. You wonderful, wonderful guy.
And there's a young man about town here tonight who'd like very much to meet you. How about it?
Fine, Mr. Daly. You know, I don't know any New York boys. But, you know, just as in the play that you heard a moment ago, I once got a letter from a fella here in New York. It was such a sappy love letter. He was obviously a moron.
Well, I'm off to a great start.
Hello. Oh, hello. I was just telling Mr. Daly about a love letter I received from some half-baked goon.
Oh, that Charlie, he sure gets around. Who signed this letter, Mr. Rutherford?
Oh, he had some silly name like Jackie Pilk. Or Jackie Clunk or something like that. You know how I answered his letter?
You sent him a kiss by mail.
Why, yes. How did you know? Say, you're not that half-baked...
No. Take me out of the oven, Miss Rutherford. I'm burned to a crisp.
Oh, Jackie, I really didn't mean it when I said that before. It was a beautiful letter, and I was really flattered to get it.
Well, Ann, now that we've met, I guess I can tell you that my secret ambition is to go to Hollywood someday.
Oh, by all means, come to Hollywood, Jackie. You do awfully well in pictures.
Oh, do you think so? But could I really get to act? Or do you think they just think of me as just another pretty face?
Oh, no. Why, your physique is so overpowering. Let me feel your arm.
Okay.
Gee, what have you got in there? It feels like a rock.
It is a rock.
Well, Jackie, let's see if you're any good as an actor. I've got a scene here for my next picture, and we can try it out if you like.
Oh, I'd love to.
All right. Now, let's see. In this scene, you're a policeman. Now, I'm walking down the street with my husband, and you ask us to buy 2 tickets to the policeman's ball. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
Okay. Oh, hello, Mr. and Mrs. Jones. Would you like to buy 2 tickets to the policeman's ball?
Why, we'd love to, wouldn't we, Jim? What's that, Jim? You don't want to spend the money. I might have known. You've never wanted to give me any pleasure. You just want me to work and slave and grow old, that's all. Well, I won't stand for it, do you hear? I'm going to put an end to it. See this gun? You're a rat, Jim. Take that!
Lady, you want to buy 1 ticket to the policeman's ball?
Good night, Jackie.
Good night, Ann.
Home, sweet home, where father's the breadwinner, mother's chief cook. But tonight things are different. It seems father is getting dinner while mother and Junior sit by.
Gee whiz, Mom, why are you letting Pop fool in the kitchen?
He tells me he's read about a new way to heat canned lima beans.
I'm hungry.
This is not a new way to heat canned vegetables. It's a better way. Now, just watch closely. I've opened the can of lima beans and drained off the liquid into a separate pan. Now, I boil it down 1/2, see? Then I add the lima beans and leave them just long enough to heat them.
Why, I think your father has something there, Junior.
Sure he has. Let's eat it.
Now we're all ready to serve the beans, and we'll serve the liquid right along with them, because this liquid contains lots of food values we don't want to throw away. There. What do you think now?
You're a genius, Pop.
You don't have to be a genius to heat up canned vegetables. Just heat the canned vegetables in the liquid they came in. Remember this, the best vegetable brands come in Continental cans. You can recognize unbreakable, tamper-proof Continental cans by the Triple C trademark. Yes, the Triple C stands for the Continental Can Company, makers of quality products which serve behind the scenes, behind the labels of America's finest food products. And don't forget, the best vegetable brands come in Continental cans. Into our Continental Celebrity Club spotlight once again steps Margaret Whiting with a song that has a sentimental touch. Margaret?
Thank you, John. You know, it's rather difficult to sing when you've just had your heart broken by a man.
Are you looking at me, Miss Whiting?
Yes, Jackie, you. To think that last week you were so wonderful to me, and then you met Ann Rutherford, and you just cast me aside like a broken toy.
Oh, Miss Whiting, you're hysterical. I didn't cast you aside. Why, I love you. You're the only girl in the world I'd lend my sneakers to.
Oh, now I can't sing. Introduce me, Mr. Daly.
Well, Voltaire said about them.
What? Which brilliant observation gives Ray Block the soundbeat? Sing, she first captured the nation. A tenure it is as she sang it on her Capitol record. It might as well...
I I'm as restless as a willow in a windstorm. I'm as jumpy as a puppet on a string. I'd say that I had spring fever, but I know it isn't spring. I'm starry-eyed and vaguely discontented, like a nightingale without a song to sing. Oh, why should I have spring fever when it isn't even spring? I keep wishing I was somewhere else, walking down a strange new street, hearing words that I've never heard from a man to me. I'm as busy as a spider spinning daydreams. I'm as giddy as a baby on a swing. I haven't seen a crocus or a rosebud or a robin on the wing, but I feel so gay in a melancholy way that it might as well be spring. It might as well be spring. Or a rosebud, or a robin on the wing, but I feel so gay in a melancholy way that it might as well be spring. It might.
Whiting sang it right at me.
Well, Jackie, you may be the number one man in Margaret's life now, but next week you're going to have competition. You know who we're going to have as our guest? That handsome, dynamic screen star, Charlie Butterworth.
Charlie Butterworth? Listen, Mr. Daly, when it comes to women, he can take them or leave them. But the ones he takes are the ones I've left. I'll see you next week, Mr. Daly.
The Continental Celebrity Club is produced and directed by Mark Slove. Next week, we'll have an addition to Jackie Kelt, Margaret Whiting, and Ray Block's orchestra, that star of stage and screen, Charlie Butterworth. The Continental Celebrity Club is brought to you by the 25,000 men and women of the Continental Can family. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Continental Celebrity Club, on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS episode from January 12, 1946 on CBS. Guest star Ann Rutherford would go on to appear in three motion pictures in that year, The Madonna's Secret, Murder in the Music Hall, and Inside Job. This is an hour of variety on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for the Bird's Eye Open House with special guest comedian Groucho Marx, an NBC episode first broadcast on February 21st, 1946.
Bird's Eye Frosted Foods present Bird's Eye Open House, starring Dinah Shore with her special guest, Groucho Marx. And now here's Dinah.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight,
goodnight.
Oh, I'll be going out in the storm. But if you'll really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful, and since we've no place to go,
let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are burned way down low.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you'll really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying.
It's out.
And my dear, we're still goodbye.
Goodbye.
But as long as you love me so, let it snow.
Let it snow.
Let it snow.
Let it snow.
Let it snow. Let it snow.
Ladies and gentlemen, hiya, fellas.
Hiya!
Oh, just fine. And I know I can say the same for our bird's eye playmate, Harry Von Zell. Hiya.
Hi. Yo, you Dinah, I'm swell. Everyone who has anything to do with bird's eye is happy, you know. And although Groucho Marx isn't here yet, I'm sure I can...
Oh, excuse me, Harry.
Oh, yes.
Isn't it strange how the telephone always rings just about this time? Did you ever notice that?
Yes, I did.
Hello?
Well, answer it, will you?
Hello? Hello?
How long do you think I'm going to stand here in the hands of the receiver?
Huh? Groucho.
Hello?
Must be Groucho Marx. What are you doing?
Hello, Dinah. This is Groucho Marx.
I said that.
Great invention, the telephone.
Groucho, what are you doing?
I'm having a meeting with that radio sponsor I told you about. There's only one thing holding up the contract. He said he wanted a singer on the show.
Why didn't you tell him you sing?
Yes, I did. Now there are two things holding up the contract. I'm about through now.
Come on over as soon as it's settled, Groucho. Bye now.
Dinah, listen. While we're waiting for Groucho to show up here, suppose we take a short stroll down memory lane, huh?
Good idea, Harry. Tonight I'd like to stop at the year 1926. See if you remember this one.
What can I say, dear, after I say I'm sorry? What can I do to prove it to you? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ever be mean to you. If I didn't care, I wouldn't feel like I do.
You know, when you sing, I find myself all wrapped up in your voice.
Talking about being all wrapped up reminds me of a mummy I once met, Harry.
A mummy?
A mummy.
Oh, well, let me hear more about this.
Okay, pull up a pyramid and sit down. was traveling along the sands of the Nile and stumbled upon him quite accidentally. Oh, pardon me, my foot slipped.
Oh, that's all right.
Why, you're a mummy.
You were expecting maybe Mrs. Nussbaum?
And you can talk.
Oh, I really can't talk, but in your case, I make an exception.
Who are you?
I'm Dinah Shore, and I sing on the Bird's Eye Open House program.
The program is sponsored by those wonderful, delicious, and easy-to-prepare Bird's Eye Quick Frozen Foods?
Well, yes, but how do you know?
Look, I may be a mummy, but I'm no dummy. I know they're wonderful. That's why everyone should see that the Frosted Foods packages she buys are clearly marked Bird's Eye. Because there are many brands of Frosted Foods, but there is only one Bird's Eye.
Well, yes, I know
all. And only Bird's Eye gives you that Bird's Eye top quality every time. That Bird's Eye garden fresh flavor and goodness.
Well, that's so true, but how do you
know? So, Miss Shore, tell everyone if they want the better buy in Frosted Foods, they better buy Bird's Eye.
Oh, I will. But how do you, a talking mummy, know all this?
How? My mummy done told me. Oh, no.
Didn't you say that Groucho was coming over tonight?
Well, yes, he's supposed to, but right now he's talking to a new sponsor, the Forbes Snyder Ink Company, about a radio program.
Oh.
You know, Harry, when Groucho's off the air, I really miss him.
Hmm. Yeah, with me it's different. When he's on the air, I miss him.
Well, Harry...
There's a point there someplace. I don't know what it is.
It's a joke, son.
Oh.
But I certainly hope his meeting with the sponsor is successful.
I do,
I really
too.
Do.
Marks, I'm Mr. Forbes Schneider, president of the Forbes Schneider Ink Company. I just want you to remember one thing. I make 50 million gallons of ink every year.
Well, every man is entitled to his hobby. What do you do for a living?
Well, now, let's get one thing clear. If I give you this program, are you positive that you'll be able to deliver Miss Dinah Shore?
Hold on, Mr. Forbes Schneider. There are a few questions I'd like to ask. Are you saying that you don't want me if I can't get Dinah for the show?
Yes.
Now, the next question, what about salary?
Well, what would you say to $3,000 a week?
I don't know. We've never been introduced. But why stand on ceremony? I'll take it.
You'll take it? You'll take it?
There's still another variant of that. You'll take it.
The $3,000 is for the services...
That about washes up that joke.
The $3,000 is for the services of Miss Dinah Shore. Give $3,000 to a dope like you? What do you think I am, a flathead?
No, you've got a good point there. By the way, did you ever try wearing a donut?
Confidentially, March, how much did you get on the Dinah Show Chore?
Well, I wouldn't want this to get around, but... But it wasn't quite $3,000.
How much was it?
I paid them $50. Yeah.
Well, of course, we don't want any money from you.
One week I sang and they charged me $75.
Our maid has been sick, and can you take care of the house?
I'm not sure, but I certainly can take care of the maid.
Ah, Dinah Shore on my program. I can see her now. Misty eyes, a face fresh as dew, a voice like the gentle rain.
Pardon me, I'm going out and get an umbrella.
Now, let's not waste any more time, Mark. You go over to Miss Shore and get her to sign this contract. Remember, no Dinah, no job for you. I'll come over to pick it up in 15 minutes.
Don't worry, I'll get her to sign this faster than you can say Groucho Marx. Or my name isn't Jack Robinson.
Groucho, we thought you'd never get here. What's been holding you up?
My starch suspenders. But that's not important. Here, sign this contract.
Sign a contract? Wait a minute, what's in it?
Don't be so nosy. Do I ask you what's in your contract? And by the way, what isn't your contract? Come on, Dinah, sign it. Sign it.
No, Groucho, wait, just a minute, Groucho. Stop high-pressuring Dinah.
Look here, my fine feather deep freeze.
Oh, wait a minute now. Groucho.
Who do you think that
Wait a minute, Groucho, please. Now, don't pick on Harry. What's on your mind?
Well, Dinah, I've been listening to your program, and lately it hasn't been up to par.
In what way?
Well, you see, a good program is like a well-dressed woman, and your show is slipping.
Well, wait now, Groucho,
Take it easy, Dinah. Get hold of yourself. Never mind. I'll do it for you.
No. What? Now, just a minute here. Dinah, I think I see what Groucho is up to. He's trying to get you to leave the Bird's Eye program for his show.
Oh, Groucho, really? Now, you know I'd do almost anything for you, but I'm under contract. I can't leave my show for yours.
Oh, well, don't feel too bad about it. I've had tougher breaks. I once lost a Charleston contest.
Well, how did you lose it?
They caught me dancing.
Oh, there you are, Mark. And Miss Shaw. May I introduce myself? I'm Mr. Forbes Schneider.
How do you do?
I hope you realize what a great product you'll be representing. Forbes Schneider's ink will write it 20 miles in the air or 20 miles under the sea.
Mm. Will it write on a desk?
They don't know. They never tried that.
Say, Mr. Forbes Schneider, I haven't signed your contract, but you don't really need me on the program, honey.
Don't I?
No. Groucho's all you need. Honey Plum?
Is it?
Why don't you sign the contract, doll puss?
You may never have another chance like this, sugar pie.
Oh, Dinah, how can I resist your logic? Give me the contract. There you are, Mark. There's my signature.
Thank you, and you'll never regret this, dreamboat.
Congratulations, Groucho, on your contract.
It couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
I'm glad you hit the crest, and you deserve the best. Why, you're the apple of my bird's eye. I snuck in a plug.
Well, snuck it out again. It's well to have my friends all wish me well now. And if I promise you that I won't be a fizz.
His ideas will all be new.
He won't do what others do.
I won't do what others do. Do, that is.
He has lots of talent, Mr. Forbes Schneider. He sings a song as well as anyone.
He announces just like I. Show him, Groucho, don't be shy.
Bird's Eye is great! Now take away that gun. Though other mouths have praised Fort Snyder's ink, there's nothing as emphatic as a new mouth.
He'll talk it and live it and breathe it and think it.
He'll even drink it.
Hee hee, just call me Blue Mouth.
he'll top all the comics, Mr. Forbes Schneider.
He has a sort of zany, witty knack. I don't see how he can miss.
Just for that, you get a kiss.
In the back case, Mr. F, I take it back.
I guarantee you that my program will be most effectual. I'll bring the people children who are super intellectual.
Presenting those mental marvels, the Forbes Schneider kids. And now we turn you over to our quiz teacher, Groucho Kelly Marx.
Thank you, and good evening, kiddies. Harry, will you tell the people something about yourself?
My name is Harry Von Supperman. I am 2 years old, and for the last 18 months, I have been doing research work on atomic energy with my secret formula.
In other words, you were a formula baby. And now, Dinah, will you introduce yourself to the people?
My name is Dinah Shore. I am 3 months old, and I am a sophomore at the Institute of Utah.
Where, darling?
I love you.
That's sweet. I love you, too. But that's enough smooching. Now, there are three parts to the first question, and you don't have to get any of them right, so that gives you 100% so far. And brings us up to the second question. Dinah, if a man went to college and he got a B.A., Ph.D., a C.P.A., and a B.S., what would he be?
A bafticapus.
I'm sorry, Dinah, but you got it wrong. The correct answer is a bafticapapus. That means we send a Mrs. Emily Strunk $1 million in a barrel of Forbes Schneider's ink. Blue black. Now, in closing, ladies and gentlemen, since tomorrow is George Washington's birthday, we would like to take this opportunity to wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Now, Mr. Marx continues and his greatness is unfurled as he proceeds to solve the problems of this hectic world.
It's 8:45, ladies and gentlemen, and time for the Forbes Schneider Roundtable discussion. Tonight, our guests include Mr. H.B. Zell, eminent authority on coal facts, and Miss D. Shore, who recently contributed to world culture with Kiss Me Once and Kiss Me Twice and Kiss Me Once Again. It's been a long, long time. As usual, our forum is presided over by Mr. G. Marx.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The question before our roundtable tonight is, how can we?
It would seem to me, Marx, that you're taking a very prejudiced point of view and overlooking the element of doubt.
That sounds reasonable. Suppose I put it this way. If in the face-off.
Are you implying, Marx, that the security of our future is imperiled by such an attitude?
I hate to be definite, but I can't help saying that I'm uncertain.
Well, in that case, I'm forced to go along with Zell.
Would I make myself clearer if I rephrased the question and said, is there or is there not?
But, Marx, you completely disregard Shore's conviction.
I'm forced to go along with Zell.
Suppose I say that I think.
But this is a democracy.
Well, then, suppose I say that I.
That would cause inflation.
Well, then, just suppose.
That might work.
In that case, I think we all agree.
All right, then I'll sum it up. It seems, ladies and gentlemen, that this discussion has conclusively proved that the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe is a great song. And we predict that someday it will become the name of a railroad. Probably the New York Central.
The talents of this great artistic Mr. Marx are various. Behold him now as he proceeds to make the world hilarious.
People are Groucho, and here is our master of ceremonies, Groucho Marx.
Now, in just about 5 seconds, we're going to have a young married couple come out here. Now, here's the fun. This couple doesn't know that you know, that I know, that they know, that we don't know, that they know what we know. Don't we? But first, oh, here they come now. Ha ha! And what is your name?
Harry Krillick.
Well, how do you spell it?
With two S's.
Splendid. Oh, just the way it sounds, eh? Are you married?
What do I look like? Smorgasbord?
Oh, you're Mrs. Krillick.
Likewise, I assure you.
You have a first name?
Matilda.
Isn't that wonderful? Do you mind if I call you Matilda?
Why should I mind?
I'd mind if somebody called me Matilda. Now, Mr. Krillick, here's how we play People Are Groucho. We give you a 500-pound sack of wheat, and you have to hold it above you. Then, if you fail to answer the question correctly, my assistants break both your arms, and the sack of wheat falls on your head. Any questions?
Would you mind if I wear my derby?
Now, let's play it fair. Now, Mrs. Krillick, you stand opposite your husband, because when the sack falls on his head, it automatically releases a trapdoor under you that starts you on your way to China. I'll do the laughing here if you don't mind, huh? Any questions?
When do I see my mother again?
Well, don't worry about that, because in our next dump, we get rid of her, too. Now, here's the question, Mr. Krillick. Would you tacitate or facitate a partisan?
Would you mind repeating that question?
He missed! People are Groucho!
I was forced to go along with Val. Through gaiety and drama, he will keep the country young.
And I'm sure Forbes Schneider's ink will be on everybody's tongue.
So, thanks for the contract, Mr. Forbes Schneider.
I'll make your ink the answer to the call of the woman and the men.
It can write with any pen.
In fact, it writes without a pen at all.
Just dunk your finger.
So thanks, Honey Plum.
Thanks, Dollfoot.
Thanks, Dreamboat.
Thank you, Mr. Ray.
Oh,
we close the Bird's Eye Open House for tonight, I would like to thank Groucho Marx for being with us, and I know we'll all look forward to seeing him soon again. And to tell all our other friends here and at home, thank you for being with us, and please don't forget to visit again next week when we expect to have Ozzie and Harriet with us. Incidentally, tonight the orchestra was under the excellent direction of my good friend Joe Lilly, who was pinch-hitting for Robert Emmett Dolan. So until next week, folks, stay well, stay happy, and especially stay with those war bonds. Night, everybody.
The Bird's Eye Open House, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from February 21st, 1946, wrapping up this hour of variety on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Lipponier. Thanks for tuning in.